following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Welcome to the show that we're doing right now.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Let's go.
What is this?
Giggity, 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 goo.
Who else but
the Q?
It's showtime. Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q. You're listening to the best pop culture, current events, current affairs show, east and west of that Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, and worldwide at theqnow.com. I am one illustrious Mark Bland, your host of the Q, joined today by none other than Jason Call.
Hello, sir.
How are you? How have you been, Jason?
You've been good.
Jason couldn't wait to get on the show today. There has been a few little pieces of information that have come out over the last week, and we are going to jump headfirst into this. Jason, you were saying something off the air. We'll talk a little bit about this Roy Moore situation, but we're just gonna get into deep on all kinds of different fronts. You were saying off the air something about how we get closer.
Yeah.
And as we get closer.
Yeah, the closer we get with the Mueller investigation, the more more logical it becomes. We could sort of laying out what happened, how it happened.
Yes, we start to see collusion.
Yes.
When collusion starts to appear,
yep.
your statement was, it seems as though they get a little bit crazier.
Really?
The Republican supporters, and the Trump supporters specifically, because I've gone out of my way in the last few weeks of my life to separate conservatism from Trump supporters.
Yes.
I feel that there is similarities, but I feel like there's a lot of differences between conservatives mm-hmm. and Trump supporters. Trump supporters are starting to come out more and more like your Tea Party people a few years ago.
Yeah.
When Obama was running for his second term.
Yeah.
And they were showing up at polling places, and there was curb stomping and all kinds of things like that. They couldn't get through a single one of their, if you remember, the Tea Party crazies back then were a little bit on the Rand Paul train.
Yeah, yeah.
They were hardcore on the Rand Paul thing, or Ron Paul. It was Ron Paul himself.
I separate them by a conservative, when they're forced to stick up for Trump or defend Trump, will have some sort of logic in their defense. There will be some sort of fact that they can kind of go back to. A Trump supporter, they don't care what they say.
Well, I want to disagree with you in one little piece. I don't think that there's anything logical about the standing up for Donald Trump by any human being at this point. It's very indefensible on many fronts.
One example would be sort of the Paul Ryan, where he'd come out and he would say, he's new to this. He's never been in this position before.
Correct.
4 or 5 months ago, maybe even longer, that sort of made sense. And you were kind of like, okay, well, let's see. And then he just does it again and again. And after 9 months, 10 months, you got to know what's going on by now.
Right,
ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't work now.
And this is what I wanted to say to Jay. And this is important. I want all of you to hear it. That's why I waited until the show to say it. They really want to believe, and they really, like, listen, okay? It was after the Patriots won a few more Super Bowls down the road a few years to where they start talking about, it's really odd. And then they start talking about, oh, they like to cheat, and we've got proof. And then the proof was from Super Bowl I, their first Super Bowl back in 2001. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the they were taping the Rams practices and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, that was like a decade ago and like three Super Bowls ago.
Yeah,
and they really, here's the thing with the Trump supporters. They really want it to be true. They want it to be that Donald Trump was really tapping into the vibe of the people of the United States. Like, he was really tapping the people. And, like, there was this, like, do you Do any of you remember walking into the 2008 election? We were coming off, well, first off, when the 2008 election, we had just come out of like the beginnings of our crash.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So that was right at the end of the George Bush presidency. But if you remember, we were coming off of many years of being told we'll get Osama bin Laden, but we hadn't, and there was more and more of these troops dying on a yearly basis. So finally, people kind of just got sick with the George Bush stance of we have to be over there fighting terrorism.
Yeah.
Okay? And they said they wanted their people out. And there was this strong contingent of human beings in the United States of America, both black, white, and every other color, that decided en masse to vote Democratic for the President of the United States in 2008. It wasn't because Barack Obama was black, technically. Don't get me wrong. There was still quite a few people that did make their decisions based off of that. But you still need a lot more millions of people to get to the numbers you need to win presidency of the United States. And there was a large contingent of people like myself who had no problem voting for George Bush in 2000. Okay. I turned around and went liberal for the 2004 vote, because I really didn't want us to be in this war that just kept killing people. And we were only like a year deep into it at the time. So it was one of those things. There was just this en masse of people that went. So they want to believe that with Donald Trump, they had the same things going for them as the hope statements. Or was it change in 08? Was it change? I think it was change. Was hope?
Hope and change.
Was it hope and change? Yeah. Or wait, well, no. One was change, one was hope. Hope was 2012, I think. Change was 2008. That's what I'm thinking.
I just remember
because there wouldn't be a need for change in 2012.
Was it 2010 or was it 2013 when? Because remember, Sarah Palin was going around doing her hopey changey stuff, or she would. She was
Sarah Palin. That was.
Remember when she said, "How's the hopey changey?" Well, that because she's such a moron.
Well, that's because. Well, and it could have been construed as both parts. Yeah, like it could have been hope and change, and then they just decided to grab onto change.
Yeah, and add wise to the end of it.
You know. So there was this large contingent. We didn't have that with Donald Trump. Donald Trump won a couple of cities in some states that normally he wouldn't win. Because of that, they want to think, see, the whole country has flipped completely to the other. See, Barack Obama was that bad. 8 full years of him got us here. And it's like, no, not quite. So they really want those numbers to not be messed with. They really want to believe, because then they'll feel like in their hearts they weren't nuts and crazy for all the crazy stuff they said during 2012 and Barack Obama's reelection. But that's when they came out of the woodwork like nutbags and they were saying crazy stuff. And that's how we figured out they were Tea Party type people and really extreme right people. They didn't like that. They didn't like knowing that no matter how hardcore their beliefs were, they were in the minority. Well, they're still in the minority. They really are.
Yeah.
And the only people that are trying to defend Trump at this point are your hardcore Trump supporters. There's too much. Then we'll take it one step further. We go on this little trip, right? We jump on the plane. It's going to cost taxpayers millions of dollars to travel across the globe. We're not going to go talk to Kim Jong-un because, well, you know, he makes mean remarks about me, makes mean remarks. Door's still open. Listen. I love this part. Door's still open, ladies and gentlemen. I would hope that the little fat rich man will, or little fat man or whatever would be willing to sit down and talk with me. I just refused at all options that I possibly had on my table when I was over there in his part of the world for 2 weeks to stop by his country at all and discuss anything. But it's still on the table. I just want to let everybody know we're still cool. Even though I'm within an inch of his location, I don't even want to touch it with a 10-foot pole, but it's still open. No, it's not open. Trump, you're being a jerk and you're trying to find a way to go this. Now, I'm not going to sit here and defend Kim Jong-un and say that he's some great person. We know he's shooting missiles towards the United States. Him and his dad have been saying things for years.
Oh, yeah.
So this is not us sitting here going, you should go talk to him, because the only way me and guys like Jason, these liberals that are so horrible, can figure things out is if you guys have sit-down meetings. That's the only way things will get worked out, Jason. Yep. No. We understand the value of war. We understand. It's like when they always make fun of liberals. They're like, and a liberal, I'll know that I'm in charge because all the liberals will be hiding behind me and my gun. And it's like, you don't think there's people that know how to load a gun and shoot it that vote liberal? And we also have to discuss the fact that the word liberal, in your opinion, you think is everything to the left of you.
Yeah.
You think literally even moderate righties are considered liberals. And like, it's nuts. And you know what? Truthfully, moderate righties are considered liberals. I would say anybody in the middle is considered technically a true liberal.
Probably.
You think that everybody who votes Democratic is an Antifa member. That's a completely different mindset. Like, so in your mind, there's 63 million Antifa members in the United States of America.
That's a lot.
But the truth is there's probably a gaggle of like 500 total people that run around in the United States to specific locations. They get into arguments with people who are there to promote and respect white nationalism and KKK members.
Good people.
So it's not just some random mall in Iowa where this happened. No. It's here is a Confederate statue where there's going to be KKK and white nationalists at, who want to promote protecting Confederate statues, and we disagree with them being KKK members and the idea that slavery was good in the Confederacy and all that. You turn that into every single day. Oh my goodness. Jason, did you see the story? I saw a news story this past week. I don't know the guy's name off the top of my head, but he works in a downtown Clayton. He works in a downtown Clayton, St. Louis business, where he's a money marketing fund manager or whatever like that. A Ferguson-Florissant school bus, because it says Ferguson-Florissant School District on the side of it, pulled up and parked outside of his company, okay? Now, the reason they did that is because they were there to see some film festival films that happened to be being shown at a location across the street from where his business was. He gets onto Facebook immediately, takes a picture of the bus, and then says him and other business owners in the Clayton area have been dealing with Black Lives Matter issues over the last few hours because they're trying to shut his businesses down around him, and he can't believe that they're busing them in now during school time to be Black Lives Matter members. And he's a money marketing fund manager. And what do Republicans love to do? They love to make money. Yeah. They all get into the money thing. I haven't met anybody who works in the money markets of the United States of America that aren't Republican voters at all, or conservatives. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are people. I shouldn't have to say this every time, but that's where we're at in 2017. I have to repeat myself every single time, because if you don't say it the first time, a conservative listening to the show or a liberal who tends to lean right will get super, or liberal that tends to lean right, will get super angry because you didn't preface it and say, see, he said all of them, all of them. It's all of us all the time. And it's like, no, man, I don't have to keep repeating myself, but when you're talking to Republicans, you have to continually remind them that you're patriotic. You have to continually remind them that you live in the United States of America. They have to have their flags waving from their trucks, as well as their T-shirts that they're wearing. And if a police officer's walking down the road, you don't run up and you don't kiss their badge and go, you are the greatest thing since sliced bread. You're immediately. Unpatriotic, and you're one of those liberal douche nozzles.
You know, one thing I think I could say that might apply to all would be the hardcore Trump supporters. They're the ones, they don't pay attention to anything in the news. So when they support Trump and they come to defend him, that's why they make no sense. Because they haven't been following the story.
Right, they don't know everything that's going on.
Yeah, they just know the Hillary stuff, and that's their first thing, is Uranium One and Hillary, and the Clinton Foundation.
Benghazi.
They say those things. and to put it in perspective, it would be like if you're watching a movie and you have to leave for 30 minutes and you come back and you ask
and
the
I know what it's even worse. Yeah. I know what's even worse.
If they haven't been watching the movie.
You don't even have to be a Fox News TV subscriber, okay? You don't even... The majority of these individuals are Fox News radio listeners.
Yeah.
They're hearing the Hannitys going on and on. They get the radio version where people are calling in and they want to talk. So they hear other people like them saying crazy, stupid things too. And they go, see, yeah. Barbara in Washington, D.C., she lives right where it's happening. She believes in my stuff too. And it's like, no, Barbara doesn't.
A trick that people like Hannity and other radio guys like him do. When the person calling in says something crazy, they never correct them. They just cut them off and go to something else. So say Bob from Donut Hut calls in and says something nuts about Hillary. Someone like Hannity will just go, all right, hey, thanks for the call, Bob.
Thanks for the call, Bob. I got to move on to my next caller.
Yes, and they never go back and shut that down. So
of course they don't.
That's true.
Because they're set. Listen, these radio stations are selling us a lifestyle. And that lifestyle is, I have to have a tactical vest. I have to have tack glasses. You know, tack glasses, they look like this when you put them on and you can see weird things. But when I take them off, you can't tell there's a picture there. But when you put them back on, there's a picture like a freaking 3D Viewmaster from the 1980s. Okay? They're the people.
Yep.
They're selling this lifestyle of doomsday prep. The world's coming to an end. These people on the other side are a part of the world crumbling. And you need to make sure that you got super mega beats. Super mega beats are the only thing when you're in your basement that are going to make you feel good. Super mega beats.
Gotta swallow that pill.
I love super mega beats. Everyone loves super mega beats all the time.
And that's how people like, well, super mega beat lady, Hannity, O'Reilly, when he had a radio show. That's how those guys get away with promoting the craziness without saying it themselves. So then when it comes up that they finally get busted, they can be like, well, you go back and find where I said
No. They always say, listen, the beauty of being a political radio broadcaster. Now, you don't get this here with the Q show, okay? I'll tell you why you don't get with the here with the Q show. Because I'm not going to put in that time. I would put in that type of time if I thought there was a benefit into spinning the content within the show. So I sit down and I record with a guy like Jay, and then I find ways to like murk in things around. You know what I'm saying? Like if I could do it. You don't have that, but with these guys, when you're doing this show every day for 3 hours, you have a dedicated producer, like we have producer Bob, but you have a dedicated editor for the show, and they sit down together and they will cut up things left and right. So here's the deal. I come on the show and I'll say 15 different things for the same story, okay? And I'll probably go two, maybe three different directions. All of them are viable directions, but some of them make me sound somewhat sane, and one of them always makes me sound somewhat nuts, like just completely off my freaking rocker. Now, I wait a little while, right? I wait a few weeks, right? Something else comes down the pipe that leads into this thing over here. Well, were you listening to me 2 weeks ago when I talked about this? Here it is. And then they play the clip from 2 weeks earlier. They never play the other two things you said the same day that were completely in different directions that had nothing to do with it. And it's whichever one that seemed to be right. And now all of a sudden, to your people, because they're not recording these in their car.
No.
They're just listening to them on the drive home to and from work and stuff like that. Okay.
You were right at one point.
They just hear that and they go, see, oh, I knew it. I knew I heard that. Yep, she was right. He was right. Oh, that guy. No, they're not always right. You'll know the ones that are really, really right. You'll know the ones that like the Smirkonishes and people like that because, like, as soon as we came on to the Q show, okay, the first thing we did right after Donald Trump won presidency of the United States was say, well, evidently, ladies and gentlemen, we were wrong. The country went in the other direction. This is legitimate. You know what I'm saying? And we admit, you know, now I on my show explained how I thought we got to that point. And I still to this day stand behind the fact that Ferguson and Black Lives Matter really stirred up some feelings within the culture of the black culture of America to the point that there was going to have some multi-year standing to it. It wasn't just going to be a one-time thing. And when it got closer to the election, I feel like a lot of black people felt that Not enough was done for them because of the Ferguson thing. So they were just like, I'm not going to vote for her and for the Democratic Party because they didn't do much for me. And then they definitely weren't going to vote for that racist dude over there because they just seem like that's more than anything that they ever had before.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. Because there hasn't been a president like Donald Trump in our time period. He's nuts. He's nuts. I'm next door at South Korea. I could literally just hop on a flight for 3 hours, go north to North Korea, go visit Kim Jong-un, sit down with him for an hour and talk about things. But why would I do that? I would rather just poke the bear, create problems, make it look like he wasn't trying hard enough.
He needs a distraction because all of the people around him are going to be going to jail.
Oh, and it's only gotten worse, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't noticed, Twitter has updated their character count to 280 characters.
Yeah.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, he can ramble on longer and longer. He makes even less sense.
Now he just says 140 ha's.
Right, exactly. He gets that extra 40 characters over the 160 that he used to get. He gets that, or 140 that he used to get. He gets that 180 now to finish off the crazy part of what he used to type.
Yeah.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand what his point is. Other than the fact that I think the guy just wants to put a war on his resume. That's it. Now, Kim Jong-un, I know you're nuts. And you deserve to get punched in the mouth quite a few times. And you probably need a Moab dropped on a couple of locations, in my opinion, that probably could do you some good to kind of wake you up to let you know who you're dealing with.
Set some stuff on fire.
You know, set some stuff on fire to let you know, you and the people up there in North Korea, who you're dealing with. But I don't feel that we're in that position. Like, here's the thing. This isn't like North Korea and the United States share a border. And at any moment, like, it could, like, fire off at the border between our warring sides, potentially. Like, that's not what's going to happen. The firing off will be a nuclear warhead of some sort, whether that's from us to them or them to us. Because there is no boundary line we share.
Yeah.
They are so far away. And it's going to be easier for Donald Trump because he wants to be this big, tough... He really wants to shoot a warhead is what he wants to do. Because no president in history has ever shot a nuclear warhead off. And so he feels like watching Harry Truman back in the day get away with doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Vindicate, makes him feel like, oh, it's been done before. I like to punch my enemies in the mouth. Well, Harry Truman did that after a little while of warring with Japan.
Yeah.
This wasn't like day of the war starting. We just went over there and hit Nagasaki and Hiroshima and called it a day.
And no. It wasn't over name calling either.
No, there was quite a few months and years that went by before he decided to go and drop the bomb. You're just going to start a fist fight with a nuclear warhead. That's not going to be much of a, that's like literally bringing a Mack truck to a fist fight in a school parking lot. Like, you just run the guy over and then leave the back wheel parked on his carcass and then you call yourself the winner. Like, that's just you really, really, really wanting to shoot missiles and warheads. That's what that is.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to it. Something that has come up, and I'm sure it's going to stream into our next section, so I think we need to start to tackle this a little bit, is our buddy Roy Moore. Ladies and gentlemen, Roy Moore.
Apparently back in the 80s and before that, guys were really sexed up.
Yes.
In Hollywood, in politics.
What do you mean sexed up?
Just
like
pulling out the dong and
just, okay, now,
the women.
Now,
just,
listen.
Go on.
Listen, this has been going on for years. The idea of somebody powerful holds some type of truth or secret over the head of somebody else who's less powerful. Anybody who's been a victim of Roy Moore's is a victim. They don't hold any power over a senator or governor or somebody of that level.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And so, when you get that, you can get a Bill Cosby. Oh, you want to be an actress?
Yeah.
Well, I need you to do these things right now or else I'll put the word out about you that nobody needs to hire you for any jobs. And you're Bill Cosby. Of course I'm going to listen to you. You're Roy Moore, a state senator.
And in the town that he lived in was like a local hero.
Yeah.
A Vietnam veteran.
Right. You got lots of things going for you.
In fact...
And I'm 14 years old.
Well, what was the quote that the lady said, the 14-year-old who's now like in her 40s, said the mother, when she asked her mom, what would you think if I...
I didn't catch it.
She said, what would you think if I dated somebody like Roy Moore? And the mom said, I would think you were the luckiest girl on earth.
The luckiest girl. Well, of course.
People in this town.
But that's okay. That's prior to them. Like, I'm sure that if the mom had known at the time of his proclivities.
But this is the girl that he supposedly did this with. So it's almost like.
Well, that's the. You know what that's like? That's like the question of these guys who are hardened criminals and they're in for life or until they go to the electric chair.
Yeah.
You know, perfect example. Charles Manson, right? You got a multiple time serial killing type guy who had a cult and everything like that. Very well publicized, extremely evil and occult and very sinister. All the stories about him. Everyone knew all the stories about it. But here we are with the girl in the last 5 years who's like getting married to him.
From across the river.
She's from Illinois, here, right by where we live here in St. Louis, Missouri.
I don't think she ended up marrying him, though. I think.
But I'm just saying, like, she's falling in love with him. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you go to your mom and dad, who know the stories. They were alive back then. They know who Charles Manson is. And you're just like, hey, what if I marry Charles Manson, mama? I'm sure their mom and dad were like, Charles Manson, the guy who's on death row? all right. You can't really do this. I mean, oh, I'm going to do it anyway. Well, she's in her 40s. So, of course, she's going to do it anyway because her mom and dad can stop her. But, like, when she's 17, if she would have been like.
But he can't have visitors, so that'd be a but really my, weird.
But they had conjugal visits.
He can't, though.
He did. He had conjugal visits with her.
I didn't think.
Prior to this.
Life in prison or people former death row inmates.
I don't know how it works in the state of California, but I know for a fact that he had conjugal visits. I know that that happened. I remember talking about that on the show.
How weird.
But these individuals, they don't have that hindsight like the parents of her do. They only have Roy Moore at the time. So when she's 14 and she's saying this because she's confused with her sexuality and a lot of things because this guy who's like 40 years old is hitting on her and trying to get into her pants. And she's kind of confused because it's kind of new to her. She's 14.
And, it was
and she's asking this question. Of course, Roy Moore at the time in mommy and daddy's eyes are the perfect guy. Yeah.
And it was fairly detailed. It wasn't like, yeah, Roy Moore, we met and we had sex. No, it was weird. It was like touching and then this happened and that. It was fairly detailed.
Well, I've heard from multiple people who have been subjects of sexual predators.
And his,
and they always have very detailed accounts of how it went down.
His story, it's changing the way he defends himself. It's coming off as this is probably true.
You know what? We bring up To Catch a Predator every once in a while on this show. And I just want to know, like, how they got, like, they would put it into the chats. Yeah, bring condoms and bring cookies.
How has SNL not done a Roy Moore and bring, To Catch a Predator?
And bring Mike's Hard Lemonade, because it was always condoms, cookies, and Mike's Hard Lemonade. And I've always made the argument that if you're the PR director at the time, that you find out about Mike's Hard Lemonade popping up every time it's a pedophile.
I know, man. Like, we need a market change. We need to fix this.
Well, I always wanted to know how they knew to put that into the chats. Like, where did that information come from? So maybe there's like a database. Maybe there's a database where they give you, like, information about these individuals. Well,
we talked about that, too, that there were, I mean, not to defend sexual predators because they're obviously bad guys, but there were multiple people writing. They had, like, a writer's group writing these letters.
And there were bad guys that were taken down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, guys who probably may have done something down the road were stopped, but there were probably guys who wouldn't have done anything who were pushed with this Mike's Hard Lemonade stuff. And
oh, my goodness. It was out of control. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this Roy Moore situation and all these sexual allegations in Hollywood and everybody else.
Yeah.
All of this is crazy. We will be back on the queue, sponsored by JohnBealRoofing.com. That's JohnBealRoofing.com for all your roofing needs in the St. Louis as well as Kansas City metropolitan areas. We'll be back on the queue after this. The dark side's calling out of the misery. She'll never know just how I feel. Out of the shadows, she walks like a dream.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by Jason Cull, and we are discussing Roy Moore and this whole situation. So, to get really deep into it, I mean, we've talked quite a bit about it already, but we're going to talk a little bit more. Roy Moore is a senator from the state of Alabama who was up for re-election, and he earned his nod. And right after he earned his nod,
he's
Was it right before or right after?
He's up for the seat that was vacant.
He's up for the seat. That's right. Correct.
Yeah.
And he's getting the nod from the Republicans.
Yep.
And either was it right before or right after it or as it happened, a story broke from a person who was a 14-year-old girl who's now 40 years old, has claimed that back in the day, Roy Moore sexually molested her.
Yeah, well, it's four of them, but she's the main one. She's the
Yes, there's and multiple came out after that, but there's multiple ones now, and this comes on the back end of a bunch of allegations that have been coming out of Hollywood about Harvey Weinstein. We have not discussed on the queue at all about this Harvey Weinstein situation whatsoever. Now, with the Harvey Weinstein situation, it's much worse.
Way worse.
We're talking about multiple decades of. And we're talking about hundreds of women like that have these stories that are now coming out. And the common thread and theme throughout most of these is something we already alluded to with this Roy Moore. But I said that it was more unspoken. Mm-hmm. It was directly spoken to these ladies. I'll ruin your career.
Yeah,
I can ruin your career in the town of Hollywood. And you'll never make a movie again or any movie at all in your life if you tell anyone about this situation with us. And so that's where we are with Harvey Weinstein. Well, since Harvey Weinstein, Dustin Hoffman's been accused.
Yeah.
Danny Masterson from The Ranch and from that 70s show has been accused.
Yeah.
And the most recent one, and Kevin Spacey, which is a big deal, but and the most recent one being George Takei and Louis C.K.
George Takei immediately came out and said that didn't happen.
And that, correct.
But that's the thing, like, that thing with George Takei. Was he groped the guy in 1981? Like,
all right,
6 years later, you're just now like,
all right, first we need
Takei.
Like, since we're on Takei and it rhymes with gay, and then Kevin Spacey, let's talk about the fact that when Kevin Spacey's happened, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, must be coming down with something. Yeah. When we were discussing the Kevin, or when the Kevin Spacey stuff came out. Kevin Spacey immediately came out and said, hey, listen, I didn't do any of this. But by the way,
if I did,
I'm gay.
Yeah,
I'm gay. And that would make it extremely difficult for these things to have happened.
A spinoff of the Kevin Spacey thing is where this whole Hollywood sexual harassment thing has finally jumped the shark with me. And it's because one of Kevin Spacey's accusers was Richard Dreyfuss's son.
Really?
He said that Kevin Spacey groped him.
Okay.
Then, literally like 2 days later, Richard Dreyfuss was accused of exposing himself on a set, on a movie set like years ago.
Yes, yes.
That's when I was finally like, you know what? This is it. I'm done. I'm done. I'm not watching this anymore. They're starting to thin it out. And like we've seen
are they, though? Let's ask that question. Are they, or is this just all starting to fall out piece by piece slowly?
What I mean by that, we talked about...
Because do you think it's only the number of people that have been accused so far, or do you think it's much, much deeper?
What I'm saying is...
Because, here's the thing. I made this on last week's episode. I made the comment to the effect that this stuff, and we didn't talk a lot about it last week, but similar... To Jose Canseco saying, Roberta, gave me all the shots in my butt and all this. And then everybody was like, yeah, right, whatever. And they ostracized him from baseball. Then all the stuff came out years later. Yeah. And Ruben Sierra and everybody was like, we did all that. He was there. Yeah, it happened.
And speaking of that, the LAPD have opened
Is this Corey Feldman?
They've opened a case on the court.
Right.
You know, what,
Corey Feldman was yelled at for years because... Remember, he originally had brought this up a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was like, he's nuts. Yeah. And his band plays horrible music.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second, is he nuts? Because he might not be nuts at all.
To clarify what I was saying, so people don't think I think groping someone is okay. What I mean is, with what Harvey Weinstein is accused of doing, is actual full-on sexual assault, felonious sexual assault. And I feel some of these people have now sort of made it about themselves to sort of say, oh, well, I was groped, or someone showed me, you know, flashed me, or something like that. Some of these people have serious damage done to them. You know, a rape is so psychological damaging that it's just life-ruining. And I think some of these people, to sort of get their name out or to just start throwing out accusations, it's sort of belittling the original, you know, what happened here. You know, people were, that we've never heard of, were raped. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow and these other, you know, say they felt weird around him, or he came on to them. That's fine, whatever. People were actually, you know, hurt. And now it seems like people are, oh, I've got a story. Oh, I've got a story. And none of the stories reach the level of what happened to these original ladies. And to me, I think they're ruining the original intent of the story. Was Harvey Weinstein's a bad guy. He's a very powerful guy. And, you know, LAPD, the NYPD, the Scotland Yard have all opened cases.
Yes.
Actually investigating him for rape. Like, serial rape. So, yeah, okay, I'm sorry that Richard Dreyfuss showed you his penis, and I'm sorry Louis C.K., you know, made you watch him masturbate, but these girls were raped by Harvey Weinstein, you know. To me, it doesn't equate. And
there has been fallout. There has been fallout.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Kevin Spacey loses his show on Netflix.
The fake president loses his show, but...
Right.
But the real president, who actually said he grabbed...
Spoilers for anybody out there who hasn't watched House of Cards, because I haven't watched it all the way through. Yeah, he's losing his thing, and I guarantee you Harvey Weinstein is lost a ton. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't still go to jail to see what... Like, that we are still in a spot where these men need to get their comeuppance.
But, and then to watch Fox News opine on this subject and talk about Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey when they've got guys in their midst who were just as bad. Bill O'Reilly gave someone $32 million by what unconsensual sexual contact. That was the complaint made against him by his former legal counsel/co-host, Lee Sweal. He paid her $32 million. And then Fox News is going to have a piece where they talk about Kevin Spacey and good riddance to House of Cards. Man, fuck off. You know, like, they didn't mention one. O'Reilly, Ailes, Eric Bolling. There was a guy on the money side. I don't even watch Fox Business. The money guy.
Neil Cavuto?
No, another guy. He was suspended for like a month for this more like unwanted advances and quote unquote locker room talk. That didn't get talked about on their network very often. And if it was usually just like a statement made. You know, we talked about Hannity in that video. Remember the video of him at the country music festival? Talking about one. You know, people go to YouTube and type in Sean Hannity, Country Music Festival, creepy, or sexual harassment, creepy. There's a video, and he's on stage, and he's like, and I forget the country music guy. And he's like, hey, we got some women over here. They're really beautiful. Maybe you guys want to meet. And I forget the country guy. It's some shitty country guy. And then he's like, maybe you want to come backstage and meet me. And it increased to this level of creepiness. And it's just, you know, for them to come on and just, you know, the Hollywood fallout. You know, bullshit, man. It's your fallout, too. Like, it's, they did it, too.
Of course. But, you see, there's all of these social media sites on the internet. Because nobody actually goes and reads actual news and opinions and everything. What they do is they get their memes, right? They get their memes that say, I still wake up every day thankful that Hillary Clinton is not our... down with she. And it's just like, they make up their own horrible world.
Well, you know what the big problem is? You're talking about memes and stuff. A lot of people do, and Facebook and Twitter especially, they just read headlines. and then make up the story from the headline. They may not read the actual story, and the headline may not be what they thought it was. And then they run around and say this or that. I mean, it may even say, you know, the headline may say so-and-so was...
And he made it okay. He made it okay for... Oh, wait a second. This was just sent to me. Liberal Logic 101.
All right.
Let's wait. I noticed this popped up because I was looking for something else. And, yeah, let's take a look at this right here. White Americans must apologize for the Las Vegas shooter. If you don't, you're an effing Nazi like the rest of them.
No, I've never come in contact with any human being that has ever said that.
One a-hole Muslim doesn't mean we condemn a whole effing group of people. Get it through your sick heads.
But they do.
Right.
Yeah. Correct. There's seven countries that can no longer come to this country freely.
Right. So if you're one a-hole Muslim and you run into any of these people that run these social media sites, these outlaws and the Shapiros and the such and such cowboy and the political rednecks and the thises and the that, all of them are just these little statements, because this one came from a specific person. And I'm like sitting there going, yeah, that's all you guys do is profile and stereotype. What you hate is the stereotype that conservatives tend to be a little bit racist at times. You hate that stereotype. You love the stereotype of if you're a Muslim and you wear hijab or hijabi or whatever the hell they call that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, you've got two bombs in your car and you got a magazine, AK-47 magazine,
yeah,
loaded up, ready to just shoot a bunch of people.
Speaking of stereotypes.
Which is never what I've encountered at all. In fact, I have a family from India that lives... not more than a few houses down from me in my neighborhood,
They
haven't done anything except for work their normal jobs and go to school. That's it.
Speaking of stereotypes, and we won't be able to get into this story because we have so many stories, we can't always do the mass shooting.
There's no way that we could get to all of the stories
but
we get every week.
What people should point out to other people, the guy, the other citizen who came out of his house and fired on the maniac who was unloading with a semi-automatic rifle, the rifle that guy had was a regular old bolt-action hunting rifle. He didn't come running out of his house with another
AR-15. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
So
we also have to put some people on the straight and narrow. So you're talking about the shooting that happened at the church.
Sutherland Springs, Texas.
And we talked about it on last week's show because it was pretty fresh when it happened. And one of the things... that came out of that was the good guys with guns stopped the bad guys with guns. Now, except there's a problem, ladies and gentlemen. According to the police report, there were three bullet holes found in this individual.
Yeah.
With the defining bullet hole being the kill shot, and it was self-inflicted. So, your good guys with guns, although they were there to be good guys with guns, which is great and all, didn't actually stop the guy. Now, they might have prohibited him from wanting to continue on and made it so that he was in so much pain he shot himself and killed himself. But don't go around high-fiving each other like you got rid of something. And you have one example of one person that did this.
Well,
we discussed on last week's show, none of you are prepped for this kind of training. You don't know what's going on, and you probably got lucky.
Well, that guy fired on him and didn't kill him, so, I mean, that just goes to show. But the reason I bring it up is because Donald Trump spoke to the, in front, I don't know where he did it, but he said, and this is so misleading, that if we enacted tougher gun laws, this guy would have been able to kill 100 more people because we wouldn't have had that guy with the gun. And that's total bullshit, because that guy had a regular old hunting rifle that is not even under the scope of anything that anyone wants to put a curb to.
Right.
So for Trump to say that is so disingenuous, and it's basically a lie. And it's a lie knowing you're saying a lie, and that's what makes it even worse. It's not like he was mistaken. He knew what he was talking about, and he said it anyway. And that's the problem with Trump. And that's the difference between Trump and any other president, except maybe Nixon, is he says things that he knows for a fact is false, and he's saying it for a purpose. Whereas, let's say, what's Obama's biggest lie, quote-unquote, that they say? It's that you can keep your doctor.
Sure.
But under the law, that's the way it was written. And it just didn't turn out that way. The way that the insurance companies then gave the insurance out into the system, it didn't work out that way. It only worked out that didn't work out that way for like 5% of subscribers that weren't able to keep the doctor or whatever that they wanted to do. 95% of everyone else was able to keep it. But of course, that was the biggest lie. Now, you know what? Buck stops here kind of stuff, fine. But it wasn't really a lie. It was a mistake, and it was a policy mistake that fell through the cracks. What Trump did was set up in advance to be a lie. Like, you know, it was a written statement who he gave to the press for the sole purpose of misleading. To get people to go, oh, you know what? That's right. That guy wouldn't have been able to have a gun, and he saved everyone, so we don't want any more gun laws.
There is no right or wrong answer to this, guys. I don't care how many mass shootings happen. No. You're going to have bad people that get a hold of weapons, okay? Does that mean we need to take them away from everybody else? No.
Nope.
But at the same point, I feel like we could do some things to curb the opportunities. Hey, the guy from Sutherland Springs... He was, like, kicked out of the military twice.
Yeah, it was actually the military. Or
dishonorably discharged, as well as he had gone to see...
He spent a year in jail.
Yeah.
The military actually messed up. They were supposed to turn over his military record to the FBI, and he would have been on... He would have been disqualified from...
But we don't want to talk about that, because talking about that means we weren't paying attention and keeping our eye on the ball.
Texas, so he would have just went to a gun show where they don't do background checks, bought the same gun. I mean, it's just the way it is, but...
We get it. We understand. Now, Donald Trump, you've now been a part of our lives, solidly entrenched in our lives.
Where we can't ignore you.
Where we can't ignore you for a year straight. Okay. I haven't run into anything yet you've done that has helped me and my family out at all.
No.
Absolutely not one thing. Now, I will be the first to come on my show and say, I've said that I haven't run into many things that many presidents did. I did get the $300 or $600, depending on if you were a single family or you had kids, rebate from Bush.
But then,
back in the day.
But did you remember then when you did your taxes? The box popped up. Did you get said 300, 600? And at the time I wasn't married, so I said, yes, I got 300. Typed in 300 in the box, hit enter in the top corner where it shows your running total.
Your running total dropped by 300.
Yep.
Right. Of course.
So it wasn't.
Because, ladies and gentlemen.
It was a loan.
It was a loan.
No interest loan.
That's all it was, ladies and gentlemen.
That you were forced to pay back.
We are dealing with craziness. Did you hear that the city of Denver outlawed declawing cats?
Why?
If
you have a house.
Okay, first off, the Denver City Council on this past Monday moved to make Denver the first U.S. city outside of California to ban the practice of removing cats' claws. Because, yeah, California does. And the council members voted unanimously in favor of the proposal. At its first reading, all but guaranteeing its passage. The ban would make it illegal to declaw cats if there isn't a specific medical reason, such as a tumor or malformed paw. Yeah. Supporters of the ban said that the procedure is the same as amputation, but some medical professionals said that the decision should be left to the doctor and cat owners. Okay.
That's weird.
We literally choose the weirdest things.
That's a weird fight to pick.
Exactly. That just the words that came out of your mouth before I could even say it. Just that's a weird fight to pick. We choose the dumbest. Like I have always given the example. We've got cars with a speedometer that goes all the way up to 140 miles an hour because those cars have been designed and built to where they can travel that fast. Every highway 60. We don't even want to be able to have the car go up to the capabilities of what we pay for it to be able to do because we're so scared of ourselves in this world. Now we're declawing cats, and that's an issue. I feel like, as a person who's not much of a... Are you an animal guy?
Yeah, I have cats.
You have cats?
I could see if I plan on letting this cat stay outside, I'm never going to bring it in. I don't think you should declaw it.
Here's the deal.
And it's never going outside.
Here's the deal. I'll never step... on your feelings when you come to tell me that your animal of whatever amount of years, dog for 10 years, cat for 15 years, whatever it is, dies. You know, you have to go put it down.
Yeah.
I'll never be the person to sit there and go, well,
you shouldn't have done that. Or, oh, that's a good idea. You're never going to get really much out of me because I'm not an animal person. So I literally don't care in most cases if a dog or a cat has to be put down. Listen, I know that they might be special to you and your family. That's why you're not going to hear a peep out of me.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you deal with your grief however you see fit.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all there is to it. I'm not an animal guy, though. That's why I did the famous episode of the show where I complained for 20 minutes solid about how there are people out there that are willing to give a dollar to help animals before they'll give a dollar to help human beings.
Oh, yeah.
And on the species chart, we outrank them. Hardcore. And you'll go give your money first to an animal. Now, I've heard a lot of people come to me after that show. Some were for me, some were against me. Some of the people that were against me, they were like, yeah, I totally would give a dollar to animals because human beings are crap. And they treat people like crap. And you know what? You're right.
Yeah,
I've just dealt with Donald Trump for the last 2.5 years. Like, I know what a crap human being is and how they can act like crap. But me personally, I'm not affected by animal deaths. Okay? Don't get me wrong. There are animals that I've known. Matt, our former co-host here on the show, had Rocky the dog. He eventually had to put Rocky down. And it was a very sad day. And he even texted me a message to let me know. And I said, hey, man, I'm really sorry to hear about that. Does that mean I didn't care for Rocky at all? No. Does that mean I was gushing my eyes out in the corner? No. Don't get me wrong. I had a little bit of a memory back about it. You know, he was a good dog and he always came around us. So I was, you know, he wasn't happy to hear that news. Yeah. But at the same point, I'm not an animal person. So I don't care if cats are declawed or not. That's a fight I would never pick up. No matter how liberal you think I could be as a host. It's not a fight I would ever pick up because I just don't feel like there's any value to it. Like, what? Okay, so now they can't be declawed. Okay, life moves on. Yeah. Same amount of cats in the city as there were before. Nothing's changed. The only difference is that Tootsie, who happens to be a cat who likes to scratch the hell out of everybody, but otherwise is a relatively decent cat, we can't declaw her now so she doesn't tear the mail up. We have to leave them in so she tears the mail up, but she's also a decent cat when she's not tearing mail up.
Now watch, it will come to find out that whoever put this bill forward in Colorado, or the city of Denver, will be a guy who owns like a chain of furniture stores.
These cats
will tear up everyone's couches and chairs. They'll have to run out and continuously buy more couches and chairs because now, you know, they can't get, you know, a little Rosie declawed. So she's going to gnaw up the chair one day. Now I got to go get a new chair. Can't get her to claw, but...
All right. Something I want to talk about on the show before we get off of the show. So evidently... All right. Season 2 of Stranger Things came out. Okay? Have you seen the TV show Stranger Things?
You know what? I have not yet.
I watched...
It's on my list. I'm going to watch
it. I think I watched the first and the second episode. And
I like
here's
the time period.
Here's the deal. Time period's great.
Yeah.
The problem with the show is, again, I understand that there are hardcore Trekkies out there and Star Wars fans. Like Andy Eckel, when he comes on the show, he can't stop talking about December 14th or 15th or whatever day he's going to see the movie.
14th or 15th. Or
right, whatever it is. He can't stop talking about going to see that Star Wars movie. So be it. More power to him. That's great for him. Anybody who's going with him or anybody he knows or anybody I know that likes that stuff. I don't care. Okay. I like science fiction. I am totally down to get in with science fiction. But when the show is weirder than the premise that it's being led on to be, I lose interest. Okay. I've heard a lot of people tell me Fargo is an amazing movie. It's a great movie to watch.
It's a good movie.
I get about 30 minutes into Fargo and I get bored.
It's slow.
Because it's slow and they're looking for dark comedy and comedy noir. And that's kind of what those brothers like to do if they do comedy at all. They like to go with the noir style. I'm not a big comedy noir fan, so I don't give a crap about Fargo. Well, I really don't give a crap about Stranger Things either. And I'll tell you why. Because it's kind of convoluted. I'm sure that it has a subplot storyline going through it that's decent enough to keep you guys hooked out there who love that show. But it ain't even hanging on some of the worst episodes of some of the best seasons
of Breaking Bad for me, or Sons of Anarchy. There were episodes of Sons of Anarchy where out the gate, episode one, man, they threw me for a freaking loop, burning somebody in a pit, or they did this over here, or whatever. Like, dude, you are a Walking Dead guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're a Walking Dead guy. I'm a Walking Dead guy. And originally, a year ago, if me and Jason tried to have this conversation, it wouldn't exist. Jason hadn't watched Walking Dead yet. Him and his wife, within the last 5 months, have decided to, like, really get into. The summer of 17 was Walking Dead summer for him. He got into it. He understands it. He got himself up to par to season 8 where it's at right now.
There you go. Watching it tonight.
Like, okay. I didn't watch last week's episode yet. Now, I watched 2 weeks ago's episode. So, I won't have seen tonight's or last week's.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first two episodes of this new season. One episode was solid. I really enjoyed it. The other episode, boring as crap. And it was when all the gunfighting was going on, episode 2.
Yeah, I didn't
find that episode entertaining. Now, I'm overall a big fan of Walking Dead, so I'm willing to, and I know where they, how good they can get. So I'm willing to bypass the slower shows, just like with Sons of Anarchy or Breaking Bad, for the more exciting, more well-rounded shows. There's none of that with Stranger Things. Like, there's no more well-rounded show. There's no worse show. There's just, it's not that good in my opinion. Okay? You want a good show? I love to give you things. We used to do a thing called Game On, Game Off here on the show. And I don't know if you were ever a part of any of our Game On, Game Offs. But basically, it was you would do something that everybody likes. And then something that they need to get off of, or like we would do game offs first and then game on, something that was something different, you know, that was good. I like to replace things. I really do. If you think Stranger Things is good, then you're going to love Black Mirror. I would rather you watch Black Mirror. It's like an updated 2017's version of The Twilight Zone. It's fantastic. It nails all kinds of social commentary as well as technological commentary that we have within our culture. The idea of AIs taking over, all kinds of crazy things that are really, really interesting.
Is that a network show or is that a Netflix or Amazon?
That is a Netflix show. You can get season 1 and 2 and 3, I think. I think there's 3 seasons. All of them, and you can watch them. They're 1 hour long episodes, but they're fantastic. And you're going to see some that are just maybe not your cup of tea, but maybe the ones I didn't like, you'll like. And maybe the ones you didn't like, I like. So it's got a slow show here, and then it's got a really great show, you know? And the first show of the first season is always the one that pulls everybody in. Like, you it's a fantastic, like, story, like, culmination. I it's just a really great show. And I think it was on, Game Off one time before. Black Mirror, check that out. Jay, I can only say that our show has gone fantastic today.
Yeah,
we are at the end of the show, sir. I want to thank you for being on the episode today. I appreciate it. As usual, Jason Call, find him, Featherbangs on Twitter, @Featherbangs. Yeah. And he likes to get into chop it up with you about politics and everything else. Well. He loves to argue with people. He also loves the McGrorties or whatever they are. He likes to argue with them because they have amazing, astounding... And that guy, he ignored everything I said. He didn't want to comment on anything I said. Well, guess what, McGrorty?
Yeah.
You're a freaking idiot. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, the Q Nation. If you live in Illinois, don't ever vote for a guy named McGrorty.
Yeah.
McGrorty. McGrorty. Don't ever.
Freedom.
Don't ever do it. Just don't vote for him. Worthless. Not worth your time. Now, there are people. Listen, McGrorty, I know you're out there listening right now, and you're going to be like, well, wait, I don't understand. And you're going to get like a little bit. I have just as many people that listen to me to hear what I have to say next as I have people that hear me just to hear what I have to say. Okay? So you're going to get some people who are just against me, and they're going to vote for you just because I said not to. But the truth is nobody should vote for you.
No.
Because you're not logical. You don't talk to people properly. And you're horrible at public relations. Just absolutely pathetic. Not very quick on his feet. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. I am your host, Mark Bland, and I want to thank Jason Call, as well as, don't forget, johnbeelroofing.com. That's our web sponsor. Check those guys out, johnbeelroofing.com, every single week. You can check us out at theqnow.com, old episodes, new episodes, and cliffcentral.com in the podcast section. Thank you to Cliff Central. We will see you guys next time on The Q. Is it
this movie that I think you'll like. This guy decides to quit his